This is Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD. Today I'm featuring local activist Scott Fife from Industrial Workers of the World. We're going to talk about the police here on KEPW 97.3, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks, independent community radio, also streaming on KEPW.org. A little disclaimer, just want to say, you know, none of the opinions on this show are that of the station, DJs, management, or Peaceworks. I'm mainly trying to open a dialogue here to, you know, I try to give you people that are doing something, but also I try to ask the questions, right or wrong, and hoping to find an answer. So before Scott Fife, though, you know, I listened to a lot of radio, and one of them that I listened to is some of the morning zoo shows. And I knew the bits they were doing were fake. A lot of them are fake, but I didn't realize that there's a whole industry around doing seemingly spontaneous content, which is done by actors, and then the DJs will interact with this recorded material. And there's a whole industry around this. And this is, again, why you want to listen. You want to support independent media, and want to be. You want to listen to independent media. Because we generally don't do stuff like that. Although I may try to do some type of culture jam. All right, so Scott Fife, Industrial Workers of the World, coming up. And then I have some music that is germane to that discussion coming up after. So thanks for listening to KEPW. LP, 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peaceworks, Independent Community Radio. Also streaming online at KEPW.org. Let's get right to it. I don't know what happened to Brooke of Brooke and Jubal in the Morning, but this is Jeffrey and Jubal in the Morning. This is the Song of the Week public service announcement for you coming up here on Talk Is Cheap. I'm your host, DJ SSD. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends.
Singing Lizzo's Good as Hell.
Oh my goodness.
It's Young Jeffrey's Clean as Hell.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Ooh, your prick loves Lizzo.
I know.
This may be the most important song I've ever sung.
It is. You're saving people, man.
I know. I mean, not to put any pressure on myself, but America's counting on me. And
okay.
As a lot of guys know, I do like a little bit of pressure. So that's good.
You like a lot of pressure.
All right.
You and me both, Jeffrey.
Oh, yeah. God. Can you get back to hand washing?
All right, so here we go. Point.
I do my hand wash, scrub my nails. Pinky, how you feeling?
Feeling clean as hell.
Hand wash, scrub my nails. Pinky, how you feeling?
Feeling clean as hell.
Woo, child, don't wanna risk this. Catch me in the bathroom, do my business. Hand soap, squirt it on my fist. Is scrubbing, bubbling, smelling like a citrus. Go on and neutralize all the little germs and the parasites. Get that finger friction, feels so nice. Girl, I never felt so sanitized. If you go potty at the store, don't touch the handle on the door until your hands wash. Soap as well, automatic faucet.
Clean as hell.
Dried off with paper towels. Bad for Mother Nature.
Clean as hell.
Come and smell my fingers.
Woo,
girl, the places you've been. Think of all the gross things that your fingers been in. All the dog fur, dander, and stuff at the gym. I got a bottle of Purell I could squirt on your skin. Wash up and do it right. Just a little rinse could save a life. Sing a happy birthday, do it twice. That's the real medical advice. And I'm not into murder now, but let's kill all bacteria and get our hands washed. Check the sink, let me see you splashing.
Clean as hell.
Hands wash, that's my kink. Soapy wrist action.
Clean as hell.
Hands wash till the pink. Drippy satisfaction.
Clean as hell.
Hands wash, start to think I'm a germ assassin.
Clean as hell.
Alright, listen, I wash my hands like Goldilocks. It's not too cold and not too hot. up to my elbows. Hand wash, check your purse. Tiny sanitizers. Hand wash, virus free. Water so refreshing. Hand wash, just like me. Lasting 20 seconds. Gonna need Purell. Fingers, how you feeling?
Right, I'm here, sitting here with Scott Fife in the Rose Garden down by the river on a beautiful Eugene day and with a family here playing in the river. And we're going to talk about the police and political prisoners and all that. And I just want to do a disclaimer because I'm going to say some stuff that is probably going to piss everybody off. So I just wanted to, my belief is I've just been promoting Rojava and talking about neighborhood policing, not necessarily community policing, but actually the neighborhood would be their own police. So that is what I'd like to see, is neighborhoods have their own police force and still follow the International Bill of Rights, so there isn't a lynch mob in each neighborhood, but each neighborhood, so that ultimately we would not need the police anymore and the police would not be called because you would know everyone in your neighborhood. So I'll go a little bit more into that toward the end. All right, so the first thing I've got here, Scott, is Scott Fife, is the city council did not vote to defund the police. You have no idea why.
Did they give any reason why? It's even worse than that, because they voted to, they had this this payroll tax, and it pits everybody but the lowest people in the county or in the city has to pay an extra tax on their earnings, and they don't, the people of the U of O and the people that work for the city are exempt from that. Even if you don't live in Eugene and you from Springfield, but you work in Eugene, you have to pay this payroll tax. And when they were all running for office in the primaries, I don't know if they'll be put in the main election, if they'll be promoting this, but they were saying that, you know, they were talking about as safety. This was a safety measure we did. So they didn't promote it as we just gave more money to the cops. It's like, no, it's safety. So you have to be, you have to look at the politicians and see what they're really speaking of. Because two of them that voted for that payroll tax both got in, and it was the mayor and Claire Syrette. So anyway, that's a problem.
Well, so they use this broad term of safety so that they can, that can be, mean anything.
Yeah, but basically it was going to give more money to the police.
Well, but safety isn't necessarily social programs, unfortunately. I don't know.
No.
I guess they can justify it not being social programs by saying safety.
And they just decided that, you know, the homeless, they were doing a kind of a stay-in-place, and now the COVID cases are going up. We've had some of the biggest raises in Oregon yet, and they made it so we're playing this game of chasing the unhoused all over, you know, all over the city, and it's just, it seems an insane waste of money. And if we're going to have police, you know, do they need to be, you know, they seem like a lot of their time's taken up. And, you know, people can't pay tickets. It's just a big joke. It's a big waste of time. And I think, you know, at least the other way, people had a bathroom and they could look out for each other. And, you know, and they even gave them dumpsters and people would try to pick up after themselves. It was a kind of a more humanitarian approach to the unhoused.
Well, I can't believe even the police want to roust homeless people. I can't believe they want to spend their time doing that. And we'll get into the cop mentality shortly. Well, so one thing I speculate, and this is total speculation on myself, but I wonder, you know, in the LA riots and in the Watts riots and in the Rodney King riots, they didn't go to Beverly Hills and riot because they knew that they would be shot if they did that. So if Eugene were to defund the police and people came and destroyed the middle class neighborhoods, I wonder what type of liability they would have. The wealthy people are going to get their lawyers and they're going to come down and say, you defunded the police and now my house has been destroyed. So they may be worried that they're going to get sued, but I don't see why they don't say that. And I don't get why they are against defunding the police. All right. So the other thing that wasn't on your list, but In our emails coming up to this, I talked about I don't want to do a bunch of black statistics on black people because I've heard it for 40 years. There's no question that black and people of color are not treated properly in this country.
Well, it's also the people with mental illness. They've had, 40% of the people that get killed by police have some sort of mental issue. And a lot of times, the cops can mistake somebody that has has a mental issue as somebody that's, on meth or something else, and they don't really know how to recognize that. So they end up shooting somebody, inadvertently that doesn't deserve it.
Well, and they're not properly trained.
Yeah, autism. Autism can be misconstrued, and that's on the rise now with young people. So, there's got to be a better way to train people.
Well, and if we were going to have police at all, I've said long ago that they should be, paid $80,000, highly paid, highly trained in conflict resolution and medic. But I just want to get into.
According to Emily Semple, she says that. When you count in the benefits and everything, they are. That's the person coming in. That's the low grunt on the police totem pole. They're getting paid $80,000 when you count in their benefits and insurance and all that. The highest ones are about the older veterans are about $120,000, and I heard that from our city councilor Emily Semple herself when I asked her about that payroll tax bill, which she voted for.
Really? So they're closer to $100,000-$120,000.
Yeah.
And
they,
well, which brings me, a lot of these people have joined the police department because there are people of color on the police department that have gotten this job because they couldn't get any other job, or that they went to school and trained for that job.
Well,
rather than flip burgers or, an unskilled labor job.
Well, they talk, I was listening to the radio the other day, and they were talking about the police recruitment videos. They said that, they're doing this no-knock, take names and kick asses. So it's just like, their mentality of the people they're trying to reach. I remember the biggest bully in my neighborhood was the one that became a cop. In fact, he arrested me one time when the other cops wanted to let us go, and he ended up getting kicked off the force for being too gung-ho.
Well, yeah, you're bouncing around a little bit, but, so cop mentality, I noticed that too. My second cousin is one of these guys that he thinks that there's certain people that are born bad, and that it's his job as he was a policeman, a highway patrolman for briefly, and his mentality is that these people need to be punished and put away. And
well, what I was referring to is the kind of people they're attracting. And also a lot of the people are in the military.
Right, they're ex-military.
Yeah, and also they're in the National Guard, because I remember one time we were having a protest in Salt Lake, where I'm from, and we asked all these pro-war people were coming and hassling us, and we called the police to see if they could do anything. And they said half of their members were over in Iraq and Afghanistan because, they were also National Guard people. And that's who went over in these last couple of wars, with the National Guard. So, and those people are tending to shoot to kill. That's it,
Well, and then on TV, they're always driving in fast cars and shooting people.
Yeah, but I'm really kind of, that's one thing that makes me very hopeful. I was so naive enough to think that the television show Mass would be enough to, no war would be ever come again. So how wrong was I on this? But, I also thought, that these cop shows, and especially the show Cops, which my lawyer friends say is basically, showing cops violating people's rights.
Right, and busting drug dealers. It's almost all drug offenses.
Yeah, and it's just, but it's also, letting people walk all over you if you don't know your rights and you stand up against the cops. But anyway, they sign a waiver, but it's just been a lot of pro-cop propaganda. But it was amazing how quickly people turned, and now I just read in the paper the other day that cops are kind of on the lowest part of the totem pole in terms of jobs and respect they have for them. So things can change.
You mean people don't respect policemen?
No, they're down the lowest place in terms of professions.
Yeah, I've rarely had a good experience with the cops. All right, so I'm going to bounce around a little bit. One thing my show is mainly about solutions, okay? And I don't know, are you familiar with the Poor People's Campaign and Martin Luther King? And I get in trouble saying this all the time, but statistically, people of color do have a higher crime rate but it is because of poverty that they have this higher crime rate.
Are we talking white-collar crime? Because white-collar crime actually takes up, you know, we're not talking white-collar crime, because actually white-collar crime and corporate crime cost the citizens a lot more. I mean, talk about looting. What did Wall Street do? And we see the people with this latest COVID thing. There's a lot of people making a lot of money off of this COVID thing, and it's the people at top and the people at the bottom, you know, get screwed once again.
Right, but all I'm saying is that the reason they're forced into being criminals is because of poverty.
Well, and we dangle all these baubles in front of them and, you know, in front of everybody and say, well, if you have this materialistic thing and that materialistic thing, you're going to be happy. But, you know, a lot of us know on Christmas morning that we're not as happy as we thought we were going to be when we got that toy. And so we put up this stuff as Hollywood sells this stuff and as a key to happiness. So that's part of it, too.
Well, yeah, I had, when I was in Watts, these guys, these gang members I had them working for me, and they would throw trash out of the car, and I said, why are you doing that? And because they know they're not going to live past 25. Statistically, they're not going to live past 25, so why do they care about the environment? And like you say, though, they all want rims for their cars and rims that keep spinning after they stop driving. All right, so you wanted to get into political prisoners. What is the definition of a political prisoner?
I would say it can be a broad definition. As you said, people that are in there for economic reasons, you know, robbery and stuff like that, because they've, you know, trying to better their economic circumstances. But a lot of times it's just somebody that disagrees with the government and gets to a point where they have such a voice that they decide that they, you know, got to shut him up. In the case of Leonard Peltier, here we have some guy that's been in prison for 45 years, and when it came down to it, somebody else came up and said they did it. It was two FBI agents that got killed on a reservation, in the Sioux Reservation in South Dakota.
All right, so we're talking about, to me, all prisoners are political economic prisoners right now.
Well, maybe not murderers or rapists or something like that, but you know.
But even they have a mental illness, and I thought they have a high. There's head trauma is on death row. A lot of incidents of head trauma.
And it could be fetal alcohol syndrome. You know, a lot of what we really need to do is when somebody does something really disturbing, like a mass shooting, is, you know, find out what makes these people tick. Why are we creating this kind of thing, people in society? That really needs to be addressed, because it doesn't seem like it seems like we've had more and more mass shooters as time has gone on, not less, you know?
Yeah, my thing is, the more you become a cog in a machine, the more you're going to see that. It's because your life does not have value.
And we just become...
You will become more of a murder, you know?
Yeah, and we're so...
Resort to violence.
And we're so alienated, you know? And as we've even become more alienated as time has gone on, the more technology, it seems, the more degree of alienation, and the more, you know, it used to be everybody had a porch, they'd sit on their porch and they'd talk to each other, but then you got the television, you'd stare at the box, and now you've got your television with you everywhere you go, and so it's just everybody's, you know, doesn't feel connected like they used to. And in smaller villages and stuff, people would, you know, you knew a lot of the people, and there'd be, you know, people would just kind of, I don't want to say conform, but there was a certain set of principles. But I think part of it is also that we've got this whole, you know, infatuation with being famous. And people that can't be famous, they'll settle for infamy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes these mass shooters, and I like it when they don't publish the name of the mass shooters. But, you know, there's some point where we're just turning out a lot of people that are very alienated, and that's why they act the way they do.
Well, what did you want to say about political prisoners then?
Okay, yeah, what I want to say about that is that, you know, I'd like to say, you know, like you said, there's a lot of economic political prisoners. The amount of prisoners that we have is just insane. I mean, we've got 2 million people in prison. That's like no other country on earth. And it's in private prisons, those are a problem, prisons for profit. But, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, we've had a lot of political prisoners, people that disagree with the government, people that have a voice. You know, it's like the FBI, they put on their most wanted list was the Panthers, and they threw a lot of those Panthers in jail. In fact, there were some that started their own Panther group in prison, and it was Angola, Louisiana, which is one of the worst prisons in the country. And these guys spent like 40 years, in solitary confinement, more than anybody else. And it's just, a lot of places that even for death row prisoners, they don't have a life in prison. I mean, they don't give out life sentences, and here we give multiple life sentences to people. But we really need to find out what causes, this kind of behavior and really study people rather than, just letting it go.
Well, so who's responsible? How did we get from public prisons to private prisons? When did that transition happen?
I don't know exactly, but I have to suspect when it probably came about with Reagan in the 80s and continued under Clinton and whatnot. But, it's just like everything seems to be getting privatized, and they think the private sector can do it better, but the truth of the matter is the private sector, it's all about the bottom line and money. So, some things you don't really want to scrimp. And so we've got to make sure that people, the private prisons, have at least the same level. But just the amount of people that we have in prison, all these people, they're letting go for the COVID-19 reasons. And it's like, well, was it that important that they stay there in the first place?
But they're let out and there's no jobs for them when they get out.
Yeah, and got that.
Where do they go?
And you've got that brand. I'm sure that a lot of the unhoused are around town, or a lot of them I know are ex-cons, and plus you've been, they check on your resume for jobs, and that's the hard part. Is it's very easy to violate your parole, and then you're right back in prison.
Well, so who is in charge politically? Who do people talk to about getting prison reform?
Well, a lot of what I'm with the Industrial Workers of the World, and what we are doing is organizing inside of prisons, and we've got a lot of members that are inside the prison trying to change things. They're doing strikes. I mean, the only one place that slavery wasn't made illegal was in the prisons, and they're working for these mass corporations, and then they have other things, like they're charged a lot of money just for phone calls to keep, and it's a big profit-making thing, and it's so punitive that I'd like to see some other way of dealing with those kind of issues.
Well, how is the IWW organizing inside prisons?
Yeah, well, what they're doing is they're just they'll do strikes inside of the prisons, That's mostly what they're doing is, trying to better their wages and their conditions, basically.
And what is this, a hunger strike?
Sometimes it's a hunger strike, yeah. Sometimes it's just, refusing to work. And sometimes it's just, an uprising.
I thought people are outside there's support groups that are outside the prisons, too, that literally stand outside the prison walls.
And people
trying to pass notes in or shout at them at the windows just to show them that there's some solidarity.
Well, there's one guy doing a hunger strike here at the Lane County Jail, and it's about really the COVID. They don't think that they're taking the COVID seriously for the prisoners, and so that's been an issue. And some people have been outside, doing support down there.
Yeah, you're a historian. When I look at Bastille Day, I thought Bastille Day was that they let out a bunch of prisoners in there. There was only 7 prisoners in there, and those were political prisoners, first of all. But they were wealthy. They were middle class prisoners, I believe.
Okay, yeah, I've heard that about Bastille Day too. But I guess it's the symbology. And actually, I think we're coming on up on it pretty quick here. I know it's in
is it July 14th?
July, yeah.
What? So why don't we just storm the jails at some point and just demand that everybody is released?
Well, I don't know. There are predators, and I don't know. I think people, it doesn't need to be as nasty as it is inside the prison, but I think some people need to be separated from society. And
right, but what type of institution is that? You can still be separated from society humanely.
Yes, that's what I'm speaking of. Mm-hmm.
And to me, they're mentally ill. A psychopath is mentally ill. In fact, the main ones that need to be locked up are heads of corporations, I think.
We have sociopaths, the head of countries, head of corporations, and...
What's the statistics on that? Isn't there a high amount of sociopathy in...
Corporate America?
America?
Yeah, I'm sure that there is. I know that they did a study, and whoever... The people that cheat the most on tests in college are the business studies.
But again, these people need to be removed from society and not allowed to in the general population. That's punishment enough, and not too much luxury. I don't think they should have too much luxury items, but a TV maybe, some cable TV. But they need to be locked up because they don't make proper decisions. And not necessarily on drugs, but definitely have some group therapy going on. All right, so anything more on cop mentality?
We want to talk about that a little more. But first, one thing about, the police is, first of all, the kind of people that become policemen, they're either, sometimes they're, this is, I guess, a generalization, but sometimes they're bullies or they're people that were picked on. And they, that's the kind of people. Also, they've been in the military. But one, the cops, and they kind of get into their own cluster of thinking because, they walk into the room, everybody goes, oh, there's a cop. And so really, a lot of times when you hang out with people that are just like you, it reinforces, bad behavior. And so I was surprised, when they had, I think it might have been Freddie Gray was his name, but he was the guy in Philadelphia. He was thrown in the back of a police van. And he was a young guy, too, and he ended up with a broken spine. And then when they showed the people, it was like 8 cops were involved on him. I don't know why they need so many cops in the first place. It seems like they should be doing other things. And there were 4 cops with the one that just sparked all the movement, that were there. Why were there 4 cops, But this one, there were 2 out of the 8 club cops that were in the back of the van with him, 2 of them were black. And I was just shocked to see this. I was like, what is this? So there's some way that even the police uniform trumps race.
Well, that's what I mean. There are a lot of people of color, especially in L.A. There's a lot of cops that are people that are of color. Well, so, but I thought they're subjected to a battery of tests when they are hired. Psychological tests.
I don't know about that, but I do know one thing is they can't be over a certain intelligence level or they won't hire them because they think they'll be bored. That's the truth.
So, yeah, but still, again, though, it's not... they shouldn't be even doing this stuff. They should be conflict resolving and
de-escalation. That's the thing that we really need, because they just, things get amped up and then you end up with somebody dead. But there's some cases where things didn't even get that amped up. I mean, what surprises me, and I've read this, that Dylan Roof, he was the guy that went in and spent the time in church with these people, and then he turned around and shot him. 8, I think it was 8 people, I can't remember, but it was in this church in the South, and they took him out in handcuffs. They didn't shoot he was white, and the people that got shot were black, and they took him out in handcuffs, and they dropped by Burger King on the way to the jail to pick up something for him to eat. And then you got somebody passing a fake $20 bill, supposedly, and he ends up dead.
Or selling Lucy's.
Yeah.
He ended up dead, too, didn't he?
Yeah, it's just stupid things that shouldn't happen.
But again, this is a
grand.
KUWLP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Peace Works Independent Community Radio, streaming online at kpw.org. KPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene, Oregon, Independent Community Radio, Peaceworks Independent Community Radio, also at KPW.org. This is a song about psychopathic heads of corporations. Especially call your attention to the line that says, "You believe everyone at heart is a killer."
People. gotta admit that I'm a little bit confused. Sometimes it seems to me as if I'm just being used. Gotta stay awake, gotta try and shake off this creeping belief. Isolate the winner and everything.